This morning's scripture reading will be Psalms 23, the whole chapter. Psalms 23, the whole chapter. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Start by asking you, as we read that psalm, if you're one of those people who has that desire to lie down in that green pasture someday. You know, it's a beautiful psalm there that depicts for us God being the ultimate shepherd for us and leading us to that place someday. The grass is not always greener on the other side, but I would suggest to you with that pasture that it is greener. It's far greater, and our desire should be to always want to be with God when that time comes. You know, what's interesting as we think about this morning, as we think about the lesson that I have, and the question that I have is, for most of us as Christians, we might ask ourselves from time to time, well, what do shepherds do? I'm talking about Leon, I'm talking about Clay, I'm talking about Bruce. And although this lesson specifically talks about them being shepherds, I want us to realize as Christians that it is our responsibility, it should be our interest to realize that we should expect certain things out of our leaders in order for them to lead us to that green pasture someday so that we can also lie down with all the saints and enjoy the blessing of living in eternity with God. I want us to think about what Jesus said in John chapter 10 as we start there. If you want to be turning in your Bibles, this is one of my favorite I Am statements, and it basically says exactly what Psalm 23 just said there in the depiction there of God being the ultimate shepherd, that ultimate example that leads us with that rod and makes sure to protect us and to give us the things we need in this life. If we think about a shepherd, that is what they're doing. They're feeding the flock, they're tending to the flock, they're making sure everything that sheep needs is given to that particular sheep, and not just one sheep, but all the sheep that they are in control of. And so in John chapter 10, and really beginning in verse 1, what we have here is the beginning of a few statements that discuss this very concept. In verse 1 we read, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber." If you think about the pen where the sheep would have been kept, Jesus is about to say that I'm the only right way to get in. You can't come in from one of the other types of fences there and climb up over the side and get in. And if you do, you can claim that you're in there, but you're really not in. And you're going to be kicked out because you haven't come in the proper way. You haven't come in the right door into that pen that protects the sheep. And then in verse 2, "But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." Christians, do you know the voice of our shepherds today? Do you know the voices of Clay and Bruce and Leon? Do you hear them and listen to them? Can you know? Do they know you by name? You see, there is a unique relationship that shepherds should have with their sheep and with every one of them. And this is just like that idea or that concept of having a pet, isn't it? Where I could call my cat Toulouse, and that is my cat's name, and I could say, "Hey, Toulouse, look at me." And sometimes he will look at me. He'll look up at me. And I know that he knows my voice. Now, if you were to come into my house and not knowing him, and you say, "Hey, Toulouse," he's probably going to run scared because he doesn't know you. And yet, you see, it's because he's built that relationship with me, basically. I have fed him for 6 years. He's from 10 weeks old to 6 years old now. He's 36 in cat years. He's older than me, and I remind that to him that, "Toulouse, you are now older than me." And he knows my voice. He's developed that relationship. He plays with me. But just like that, just like our pet, that shepherd, these three men that lead us, they should have a relationship with every one of us. And we should be willing to listen to them and allow them to protect us and guide us to that great pasture someday. You see, it's just the same, although that's a cute example of what happens in this life. The same principle can be taught here as Jesus is trying to teach us about a shepherd and the responsibility that they have as well as God has as well. And in verse 5, yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. And then drop down to verse 11, where we begin then with the actual statement here that Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But for a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. You see, if it was someone else, someone who was simply hired to fulfill an obligation, they are selfish ambition there. They're interested in themselves. They're not going to be willing to protect the flock. And yet, brethren, shepherds, are you willing to lay down your lives for me and for the rest of these sheep here to make sure that we are tended to and protected from that wolf that might try to come and snatch us away from the fold? You see, that's what Jesus set the example for. He wanted to seek and save the lost, did he not? And he wanted to bring as many sheep to him as he can. And if he found one that was hurting and that had been beat up, he would go to it and care for it and nurture it so that it would get back to his fold to be with everyone else. You see, that's the ultimate example that we have here. But notice, if you turn in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 2, that one of the interesting concepts that Peter, the apostle, gives us is that verb there of what these men actually do. And he gives them a command. This is that direct statement that we've been talking about. But in this case, it is a direct command to the elderships or shepherds of a congregation. And in verse 2, Peter says this, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion but willingness, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. And so the command is, you shepherd, this is what you're supposed to do. You need to use your rod and staff now, and you need to make sure that you take on these responsibilities. This is something you must do. It is not optional. Shepherds, do you take that seriously? You see, this is an important lesson for not just sheep and shepherds, but for all of us here. I have 4 points I want to talk about that we'll get into, that talk about what the sheep do for us as sheep, and really to put in your minds as shepherds what your obligation is to us. And the first is that sheep must be content to the point where they are free from fear. And so the responsibility of a shepherd is to make sure that you cast out that fear that we have. And what is the ultimate fear, or generally speaking, if we think about fear in this life, most of us, if not Christians, our fear is death, is it not? Now, as a Christian, we're promised that life. We're promised to go to heaven to be with God someday, and we know that. We have that assurance. But most people would say, if you were to ask them what is their greatest fear, they would probably give you the answer that they are fear of dying. And so it is a responsibility of a shepherd to make sure they cast out that fear by reassuring us where our true life is at. Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, as Paul is dealing with this same victory, you might say, that a sheep has, that if they die, where we go. And in that victory, we have eternal life. It casts out all our fear. And it's a responsibility of the shepherd to make sure that fear is cast out. But notice what Paul writes here in verse 55 of 1 Corinthians 15. O death, where is your victory, or where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory or sting? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it's Jesus Christ who casts out that fear. That fear of the fact that we're going to be eternally separated from God someday. And our trust and our faith is in Jesus. But it's also in the fact that our sheep are going to reassure us that this is the case. But what's another way that shepherds can cast out fear? You know, oftentimes when I think about this, I think about sheep who have gone astray. I'm talking about ones who have been faithful and then decide no longer that they want to serve God. And maybe they start becoming absent to the worship service. Maybe they go back to their old life of living in sin and doing things. And of course, in Matthew chapter 18, the shepherds are instructed on how they are to handle this situation. We know about withdrawal of fellowship, do we not? And we ultimately know that the purpose of withdrawing fellowship is to get someone to repent of their sins and to get back to serving God. But before it gets to that point, before the shepherds decide, hey, we need to withdraw from this particular person because they refuse to repent, what are the shepherds doing during that process to make sure that these people come back? You see, that's the difference in a true shepherd. And I would suggest that one of the ways in which a shepherd could fix this situation is they need to go to those individuals and ask them and plead with them and beg them with their love to say, what can I do to help to get you back to serving God? You're my sheep. I want to protect you. I want to make sure that you go to heaven. This is a shepherd's responsibility. And it's high time that we realize that the shepherd loves us. You know, I want to give an example of a congregation that Kelsey and I worshiped at, just up the road at Branson. And they were beginning to have a few issues with some erring brethren as far as they quit coming to worship, and they had not been coming to worship for years. And so finally, the elders there said, you know, we need to make this right. They haven't been coming. We've encouraged them. We've sent them cards. We've sent them our love, and they still are not coming. Unfortunately, we're going to have to withdraw from them because they refuse to walk in the light, and we're going to go to them, and this is our choice, this is our decision. We're going to go as a congregation, we're going to go out onto their front yard, and we're going to plead with that Christian to please come back because we want you to be saved. You see, the shepherd should have that much concern for me and for you, and willing to get that person brought back into walking in the light. No, I'm not saying that this is universal and that you have to do it that way, but I'm suggesting that this is how much the shepherd should care and nurture for the love of the area of the congregation to try to get them to come back and to edify them and build them up so that they can realize how much the shepherd really cares for them. How much do you really know your sheep? And chances are, if you don't know your sheep, then there's a problem, isn't there? There's a big problem, and you should have that relationship. Another way that the sheep can be contained is if the shepherds are casting out or freeing us from friction. Have you ever had a dispute versus another fellow sheep? Maybe you argue about an opinion area of the Bible, or maybe you, because we are imperfect, you have backstabbed a person by saying that this person does certain things, and then they get mad at you, and so there's this heated discussion and this heated division of the two, and they won't talk to one another, and there's something that happens there. You know, it's the responsibility of shepherds to say, you know, we need to handle this. How are we going to handle this? How are we going to bring back our sheep? How are we going to cast this friction out? We need to create peace. And how can we create that peace? I would suggest to you once again that one of the ways you do that is that the shepherds have to decide, and this is what they're doing. This is why we need to respect and understand their authority. They're saying, how can we handle this? Do we need to go to them and bring them together and ask them to talk about this with us? Do we need to go to them one-on-one and then bring it up? What do we do to solve this? But the point is, it is a shepherd's duty. And I'll be right there with you as a preacher to make sure that this peace is maintained. But I do want to make mention that when I'm talking about peace, I'm not talking about compromising the truth. There's a big difference in having peace with truth and peace where you're compromising. That's not true peace, because you're compromising what something is, not what something is not. Do you feel that way for your shepherds here? That they're making sure peace is being brought to this congregation and truth is not compromised? Certainly this is a responsibility for our sheep as they lead us here at this congregation. And one of the important things is, for us as sheep, and going to mix these two terms up, is in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20 and 22, something that we need to understand is we need to trust not only in God's way for which He has organized the church, but as sheep we need to trust the wisdom and the knowledge of our shepherds as they are leading us. In verse 20 through 22 of Proverbs chapter 4, the Bible says this: "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my saying. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh." He's talking about wisdom. This is what wisdom will do for you. We've all been sick with the cold. We all deal with various viruses and health issues. But one of the things that we can spiritually do is to rely upon the wisdom that we are taught from our parents, but also the wisdom that our shepherds use as they are making those judgments to make sure these things are carried out. You and I have to have that relationship to be able to trust that wisdom. And that's something you and I are to do here at this particular congregation. A third point of what shepherds do for you when you ask that question, what are they doing behind the scenes? Another thing that they do is they must cast out pest. You know, working at Lowe's for the first 3 months, I worked aisle 23, and that became a living nightmare. And everybody there would say, "I don't want to work aisle 23. Because aisle 23 was where all the pesticides and bug repellents and everything else that would kill stuff. If you wanted to kill a deer, you could put something out in the yard that would chase them away. Why would you want to do that? I don't know. They would have cages to catch raccoons. Anything that you wanted to catch or kill, it was there. And I even was told by a customer one time that, you know, that's Asian orange in there. You're using to kill that on your lawn. Do you realize this? Read this. This is exactly what they used in this. And I'm like, no, I didn't. And so now I know why people don't want to work on this, is because they could probably get infected by some of this stuff. And I'm over there handling it and stacking it and taking 8 pallets of stuff to stock it. But I also learned something. I learned that when a customer came to me and they were like, "Well, what do you recommend to kill this?" You know, the first couple days I was like, I had no idea. I would Google it. But as I learned and read the back of these things, and people would come, "What do you recommend?" "Well, this customer used this and it's no good. I would buy this." "Yes, it's a dollar more, but you're not going to have to go buy something else." "Okay, I'll get that." Well, shepherds, what is the point, Jesse? Why are you talking about pesticides and things at Lowe's? Because our shepherds have to know what this pesticide does. They have to know how to use techniques to be able to get away of the pest. And who are the pests? Who am I talking about? I'm talking about false teachers. It is their due diligence to sit here and to listen to me and make sure Jesse is speaking the truth. It is their due diligence that if we have a gospel meeting, that they are checking to make sure that the men that are coming to speak are ones that preach the truth in all forms of doctrine, whether it be marriage, divorce, or remarriage, or withdrawal of fellowship, in all points, that these guys are faithful men who uphold the truth. And if they don't teach one point of doctrine, then they're pests. They're people who don't need to be in this pulpit.
Amen.
What do shepherds do? They do a lot. And they're trying to free us from the pest. They're trying to create peace without compromise. They're trying to make sure that they cast out the fear that we have so that we can feel protected. And that's how we should feel as sheep. And this is a serious responsibility that I would suggest to you is far greater and more serious than a preacher's responsibility to make sure he's preaching the truth. They got to be the ones in control making sure that's happening. Fourthly, and I've hit on this a little bit, as sheep, we need to be content and be free from hunger. We shouldn't go hungry, should we? And I'm not talking about, okay, we need to make sure the truth is taught. But it is their due diligence to make sure that Jesse is bringing forth different kinds of lessons. Lessons on heaven, lessons on hell, lessons on grace, lessons on consequences of sin, lessons on the church, lessons on salvation, how to become a Christian, preaching all the counsel of God. It is their due diligence that there is this balance of making sure that the entire truth is being preached. But that only happens with a qualification that's given in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2. And there the Bible says that one of the qualifications of a shepherd is just not the desire of the office. Isn't that interesting, brethren? That you guys have to actually desire to want to serve. It's not just, if you don't have the desire, you don't meet the qualifications because you have to want to serve as an elder. But that doesn't just qualify you because there are others. But notice this one in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. The Bible says that you must be apt to teach. How am I going to cast out these pests? How am I going to create this peace? And how am I going to get rid of this fear? How am I going to make sure that the truth is being taught and feed the flock? You have to have the ability to teach. Or have the capability. You realize that in this Greek term here, it doesn't mean that you have to be consistently teaching. You don't have to constantly be teaching in Bible class, although you should be able to. What it's saying is that, according to 1 Peter 3:15, that you need to be able to give a defense for the hope that is in you. You need to be able to have the knowledge to be able to defend the truth. If something false is said up here, are you going to be willing to stand up and say, that's wrong, that is not the truth, Jesse, or anyone else who would speak? You got to have the tenacity and the backbone to do that. And you have to have the ability by study if you're going to cast out that hunger that your sheep have. And of course, teaching in a Bible class helps, doesn't it? Teaching a devotional helps. Because the sheep need to see that you guys are knowledgeable. They need to rely upon, yes, I trust that if something happens like this, that they're going to be able to feed me. And we need to see that. That helps us develop that relationship with one another and helps us trust you even more. And so you see how important it is for the shepherd to do his job? You see, it's just as important as we think about what Jesus said there, I am the good shepherd. You see, we should want the best for our shepherd, shouldn't we? And you know, in Hebrews chapter 13, the Bible tells us how we need to act as sheep if we want to help them be successful, because it's going to be their souls that have a harsher requirement of judgment, because their souls are at stake here, brethren. And the shepherds and the sheep have that relationship, and we need to make it easier for them. And Hebrews 13 and verse 7 around there tells us just that, that we need to consider that those who rule over us. In verse 7 of Hebrews chapter 13, the Bible says, remember those who rule over you. Speaking about shepherds who have spoken the word about you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. You see, they set the example. They teach by their life. They teach by going to the pulpit and teaching. They teach in Bible class. They make sure to feed us with that wholesome doctrine and those nutrients that we need of preaching the entire Word of God. They protect us from those pests that are on the outside. This is what we expect of you. And this is what God expects of you. But it's going to lead us to those green pastures as we read in Psalm 23. You see, that's a beautiful psalm, and unfortunately we often read it in sad times and at funerals, but it's a very powerful thing, and I want to read it again and just how beautiful that it's written from David, who we know is that shepherd who learned that if there was one sheep that was going astray and off and about to be hurt by a wolf, he was willing to go wrestle that bear or that lion to save it. And notice again in the mind of David what he says about the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. This is what a shepherd does for you and me, even an elder, for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. That fear is cast out. For You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. They bring me peace. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. I am filled. I don't thirst. I don't hunger. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's the house that I want to live in. Is it you? That's the house I want to be in someday. That's the house that I desire to look forward to, and I do. The question is, sheep, do you as well? I want to offer the invitation this morning for those who have not obeyed the gospel, who are sitting here in this pew. Today is the day of salvation. It is Jesus Christ who died for your sins, and He's revealed that He is the Son of God. He is the cure for your sin. He will remove your sin through His blood that was sacrificed for you. You just have to be willing to believe that He is the Son of God. You have to be willing to repent with godly sorrow, turning away from your sins and turning to God and confess that great name that He is the Son of God, that He is deity. And let yourself be baptized for the remission of sins so that blood of Jesus can contact you and wash away all those sins. As a Christian, let's be reminded that let's help our shepherds rule over us and make it easy to create that atmosphere of freedom from from fear and having that peace and all those things that we need as Christians to make sure that we develop that relationship with our shepherd. If there's any need, whether it's to have a Bible study or more questions or to respond to the gospel invitation, that is your time now as we stand and praise God together.